Last week, you know, an event happened that some of you throughout Chumberland may not be familiar with, and one of our fellow standards actually had a birthday. Yeah, go figure. And maybe if Linda would maybe escort the birthday boy to the stage. Yeah. Thank you. And actually, Chambra is telling me through the collective that they actually wanted to sing Happy Birthday.
I think there was a silent Happy Birthday.
Are you ready, Chambra?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jeffrey. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
And actually, we do have one present. Let me grab it. It's right behind you here.
Oh, look at that. Oh.
A couple of our Chambra brought this. Kay and Tom actually brought this for you.
Thank you.
Probably tinkshaws for him.
So why don't you open it?
Oh, Miss Smarty.
I was kidding.
This isn't Roy's camera here. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody out in Chambraland. You're right.
Oh! Well, she's psychic or what?
Oh. I was joking.
Yeah. All right.
We're officially coming to order.
Yeah.
I was joking.
You know, thank you, guys. You know what's funny?
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
When we had a pair, I don't know what happened to them. They got lost on the road or something. And for a year now, we've been improvising. Poor David had to run to the store. David, show him your pots and pans. Show and make sure everybody viewing can see what you had. This is what David was using.
Pieces of 11-piece set.
Right. Happy cooking, David, because now we have an official pair. Talk about Nost. Seriously. Earlier today, David said, do you have your, what are they called, ting-shongs or dingers?
Fingers.
Do you have your dingers? And I said, David, dingers. I don't know where they are. I know we used Kay and Tom's down in Taos recently because we couldn't find ours. I said, I don't know where it is. And David said, well, I've got my pots and pans. They look like you're out begging on the street. And I said, God, you know, I don't have time to run out and get them. I mean, you know, and David's like, well, don't worry about them. They'll show up. Nost.
One way or another.
So these will now become the official ringers. We'll put them in the official luggage for Crimson Circle.
No, I think you let David be the official guardian. Yeah, let's get it straight.
They're kind of mine. I've had enough stuff.
Easy come, easy go.
I've had enough stuff taken from me recently.
Easy come, easy go.
David, you get your own. Sorry, but I've been without my ting-shong for a while.
You're having way too much fun.
Very appropriate.
Since we're talking about David McMaster, you know, Jeff the Chandler, but, I mean, how many times do you have to be face-to-face with a deer before you realize they're just trying to tell you you're deer?
Yeah. You're a deer, David.
You're deer.
Anyway, thank you, David. Wonderful opening. Wonderful music with Aria. I love having the live music when we get started. I love any kind of music, you know, that we play, but the live music just adds a little something. You see, everybody starts from, you know, just like regular face, and all of a sudden music starts, and they just start smiling.
Lightens up.
It really does lighten up. So, welcome.
Thank you, Aria.
And I know we talked the other night on the phone. You said you'd love to move to Colorado.
Yes.
And so it is. It just works out.
But wait, speaking of moving, have you noticed there's sort of a piece of energy that just kind of...
I know. Now, this is a good-looking group here today, if we could get an audience here real quick. Smile. This is a good-looking group. But I noticed that when we were listening to the music, I thought, how lovely. You know, we're in the clouds today, literally. You know, if you could see outside, you'd see we are in the clouds.
Yeah, we're above the clouds.
Down below us is clear, you know, up, I think. I haven't been down today. Well, it makes a good story.
That's not exactly how it works. No,
we're in the clouds. And what a great day for a channel. It has kind of a moodiness to it, a mysticism. We got great music. We have a great audience.
But
there's something missing.
There's some physical energy. I know that I can feel the energy, but the physical I can feel, but the
Oh no,
that was good.
We lost her, Tobias. We lost her.
But there's a change in the energy.
There's something.
I can feel it.
Yeah. You notice there's something different. Michelle McHale is not here. First time in 7 years. Where, oh, where is Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
Which camera are we on here? Oh, they're in Lake Tahoe. I'm going to wave to them.
Suffering.
They're watching
not.
From the new
they
office.
They are not suffering.
This last month, we had the whole group went out there. Michelle, Lisa Rogers, Siglinda Schwenzel, and, of course, Janice was already out there. They're watching online from the new
Hi,
T1
guys.
Line, the new audio and
video
equipment.
And looking out
equipment.
Over the lake, over the shoulders.
So, anyway, we just... A special just acknowledgement applause for the Tahoe group.
The Tahoe office is real. It's a real place.
We'll show some pictures today. We had a grand opening there a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had a blast.
It's a real place.
It is so cool.
It's heaven on earth.
And you notice one other thing is missing.
The table.
Normally sits up there above the fireplace. It's empty. We get a shot of that. Schaumburg University picture. It's out at the Lake Tahoe office. It's in the classroom. It's framed. And that's Schaumburg University. I mean, we have actually done Schaumburg University.
It's a real place.
It is real. It's got a classroom. It's got a refrigerator. I mean, it's got everything. It's around mountains. It's around water. Everything that you saw in the painting is now real. It is so cool.
Can you feel it?
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
Congratulations, guys, particularly to Janice. I mean, she has just been busting.
She has
busting
decorated the office, and it looks beautiful.
And all
I know
of
some of you are going to have a chance to see it next week at the teacher school. She's gotten the equipment. She put it all together. We were out there last week or a week or so ago unloading the truck, getting the last-minute furnishings.
She worked hard.
And they just got the T1 line up last night. We had some difficulty in getting it up. They had no phones, no internet. And all of a sudden, last night, right before the shout, they've got it. So they're viewing today. And,
live and real.
If you're jealous, we're jealous, too. Wish we were there. We're actually going there tomorrow. So anyway. Feels good. Who's here today that's special besides everyone?
Everybody's special.
Everyone is special.
Everybody's special. That's what my mom always said. Let's see. I was like, yeah, right, Mom.
10 kids, you got to say that.
I love you, Mom. But, well, we have a couple very special guests. We have Pat Chaddick, who I haven't seen for a long time, from Duluth, Georgia. That's the Atlanta area. Where are you, Pat?
Pat, go ahead and
glad you're here.
Say hello to everybody out in Schaumburg.
Hi, everybody in Duluth.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here. And I'm coming back to stay.
Good.
One of these
Good.
Days.
Yeah. You know, Pat was one of the very, very original, early phase of Criminal
Old
Circle.
Old-timer.
Going way back when. And then you got reassigned. You got moved to Atlanta.
That's right.
And you're here visiting right now.
That's right.
But you're going to be coming back.
I am.
Very soon.
I am.
Yeah.
Tobias willing, I will be back to stay.
No, you have to will it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You
have to will it.
I got to tell an interesting and anecdotal story, a true story. When we were out in Tahoe getting the office set up, you know, I drove the truck, but that's a whole other story. That was
fun. Oh, you are a manly man.
That was
fun.
You know, 2 days out on the road driving
a 26-foot
diesel.
He's like, do I stink? And it's like, oh yeah, baby, you stink.
You know, and I told Linda, I just need a little macho quiet time. And this was perfect. You know, some guys go fishing. I drive a truck across the country. And I said, you know,
how
I'm
big
gonna,
was that truck, honey?
The bed was 26 feet. You had everything else. And it was probably, I don't know, 100, 200 feet long.
You have
and,
to.
I was really big. You know how guys exaggerate, you know, it's like 26 feet.
You have to have a chauffeur's license to drive a bigger truck.
That is true. That is true.
Chauffeur license?
So
that was a joke.
I told Linda, I said, I'm going to get a little, I just want to be a guy. I'm going to drive the truck out there instead of hiring somebody, and I need a couple days by myself. And I said, I'm just going to get out there and get sweaty and, you know, do my thing. Sure enough, be careful what you say, because I hit Cheyenne, pulled out of the truck stop with the rest of the big boys, and seriously, you don't pull up to the little one pump
thing.
You pull up with the trucks, and you got hoses on both sides. Takes a while to figure out. Huh? Looking for the other gas tank. But anyway, I pulled out, and I heard this noise. Psst. It was the air conditioner. Went out. I got stinky. I mean, I got what I wanted. I said I wanted sweat, and I got sweat. So driving across Wyoming, which is an interesting place along Highway 80.
It's no place.
It was 100 degrees that day, full sunshine, and I was a guy. It
Jeff
felt good.
Said there is so nothing along that highway. There's no place to pull over and, you know.
Go.
You can't go.
Because everybody could see you for 50 miles. You know? I mean, you can't run behind a shrub. But anyway, we got out to Tahoe. We were unloading, and we'd been there a day or two, and we were waiting for deliveries from UPS and FedEx and things like that, and some important things that we had ordered, and nothing was showing up. And Linda said, well, you know, do they know, you know, where to go? Is there something wrong with the order? And finally, at some point, we decided to put a little paper sign on the marquee outside.
That was my idea. I don't get that many that I get credit
for. That was
a
wonderful idea. We put a paper sign out. Sure enough, 15 minutes later, the UPS guy showed up with a big dolly full of stuff. We said, well, did you try coming before and not know we're here? He said, no, first time. And then right after that, the FedEx guy came in and somebody else came in. For the next 2 days, it was people with deliveries. And I thought, you know, this didn't happen until we put up the sign, until we said, we are here, you know, and then it comes to you. If you're in the now, it comes to you. We got everything, all the shipments we were looking for. It was an amazing little story. Anyway,
okay.
Who's here today?
Well, there would be Rhonda Wilson and Rhonda's guest. Where are you? There you go.
In the back.
Stand up.
You probably didn't know we were going to do this.
From Overland Park, Kansas. You probably know some of our friends.
Yeah. It's my second time. I brought Carolyn from Junction City. So
hi, Carolyn.
Excited to be here.
Hi, Carolyn.
How are you?
I was so glad the timing of this worked out with the workshop we were going to. So it's exciting. Thank you.
Good.
Glad to be here.
Which workshop are you going to?
We just finished one on energy and the intention realm. So
oh, cool.
It's exciting.
Good. Well, thank you for being here. I wish the weather was a little cheerier, but it is nice.
David Allen from Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Where are you? Didn't make it. Sorry, the fog must have sidetracked him. Okay, sorry. Oh, here she is. Annie Deegan is back.
Annie, haven't seen
Annie,
in a couple of months.
You.
How are you doing?
I'm barely making it.
Barely making it.
Oh, Annie.
No, I'm doing tremendous.
But you're here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be back.
Good,
yeah.
Glad you're here. Yep. Good, thank you.
Well, Terry Spires is on the list, and I know he's here in spirit, but I don't think
he made it physically.
He didn't make it.
Sorry, Terry.
Okay, I'm going to blow this, so I'm going to have somebody say it correct for me. I'm just terrible with French. There's a Cheryl from Erie, Pennsylvania. Where are you, Sherry?
In the back? Oh, you got to raise your tie because David's going to bring you the microphone, and then you get embarrassed.
I thought you moved back here. Didn't you move back here?
No.
Okay.
Surprise, I'm here first.
Glad you're here.
Glad you're here. So how do you like it?
Stand up.
You were at the birth transition Dreamwalker, right?
No.
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 Well, okay, so you look like somebody else. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's round it again.
There is a message, though. There is a white Ford Fiesta with their lights on. Yeah.
Ford Fiesta with your lights on. Okay.
This is getting weirder and weirder. I think it's the fog.
I think so. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. It is literally a fog. Ah, and Tom and Kesa Lisker, of course, from Wisconsin with a post office box in Texas.
And traveling around the country.
I'm getting good? I'm getting good, right?
So how big is the RV you travel around?
It's a 31-foot fifth wheel with two slides.
Yeah, so you know what it's like to drive.
And
the big rig.
Tom knows all about doing the manly man thing.
Yeah.
And does it very well. And we're just delighted to be here again. And right now we're at a national forest campground only about 12 miles away. So we're nice
very
and close
nice.
This time.
Yeah.
Glad you're here. Nice
and thank
to
you
see
for
you
the ting tongs.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ting tongs?
I don't.
Ting shows for
the thing, okay. The chimes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. And then Deborah, I'll say this wrong too, Fennessy from Lander, Wyoming. You want to talk to us about Wyoming?
Are your lights on?
Yeah, mine too. Hello.
At least my vehicle lights aren't on.
Good to see
I
you.
First have to say about...
Go ahead. Come on. Stand up. Everybody from Wyoming needs to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, pretty soon, I actually have two addresses, too. I now have a Crestone, Colorado address.
Oh,
very good.
Nice.
I shared with the group in February that I was looking at moving down there. So this month, I'll be in Crestone.
Well, permanently?
Permanently.
Wow, congratulations.
Well, as long as permanent lasts.
Well, I mean you're not just like back and forth.
No, you are moving there.
Isn't it funny the way things work when you decide in your heart you really want to do it and you just let it go and then it just works out?
It has been an amazing process. It's just unfolded by itself.
Yep.
Now comes the part I have to do, the actual moving part.
Yes.
But I have to tell you about...
Got a truck, I'll help you drive.
I might hire you.
You can handle the smell, it's a great offer.
Well, you know how I-80 is now, I'll just follow behind.
You're right, right.
Yeah. They do say in Wyoming that I-80 saved Wyoming from Coloradans.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long stretch, though. Not much out there.
Those of us that live north of I-80, we avoid I-80 when we can.
Yeah.
But the rest of Wyoming, it's nice. But
it's fast.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going with the wind.
Right.
Coming to Colorado.
See how tricky all this gets?
The Wyoming wind just blows you right to Colorado, but going the other way, they don't want you to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Wind tunnel. But anyway, it's great to be here.
Good to see you again.
And I look forward to being able to get here more often when I'll be a little closer. So.
Great.
Nice. Fun. Thank you.
Thanks.
And see, I think that's it, but there are a lot of new faces. Are you bold enough to raise your hand if you're a new face?
Anybody want to?
Oh.
David's going to run around with a microphone. And just let us know who you are and where you're from.
I'm Karen Davidson, and I'm from Castle Rock.
Castle Rock.
Welcome.
About an hour away. Good to see you.
Hi, I'm Laura Lassiter, and I'm from Denver.
Yeah.
I found out about you on the Internet.
Ah.
So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's funny, we have people that hear about Crimson Circle from somebody on the other side of the world and find out, you know, they're right here in town. They live here in Denver. So
very lucky.
Yeah.
And then over here I saw a hand. There we go.
Larry Van Meter from Trinidad.
Trinidad.
Ah,
on the border.
Very good.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else want to be that bold? Okay.
Okay. We're going to get into the slides and see what I think we're... Oh, forgot to welcome all the Chambra sitting in today, listening in from all around the world. As David mentioned, we have people from... we have people from probably 80 different countries listening in. So just a special welcome to all of you. This is an actual photograph, by the way, that Dave Schemmel, husband of Susie Schemmel, who works with us, took in Lake Tahoe recently. The alterations on there were, they just happened. But,
yeah, right.
It's an actual picture, and I thought it was so cool. It looks
like Tahoe.
Two beings, you know, we can't see, of course, sitting there smoking cigars, looking out over the new office, and you see the cigar smoke up in the sky. Kind of, well, okay. Last month was the first shout of the teacher series. We titled it The Teaching Begins, and Tobias had quite a few things to say.
He wasn't too bad, even with the story. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I have to mention that actually the recap that Tobias did during the question and answer was really, really good. It kind of recapped the story he had just told. So I started with the slides from the recap from the Q&A, and then we'll move forward.
Understand that when we come in to speak with you, sometimes we go on and on and on. Because we simply enjoy being in your energy, other times it takes a certain amount of time to deliver and work with the energies for you for the day.
As you may remember, Tobias had quite a bit to say, and then he said, before we end the shout, I'm going to tell a short story. Well, you know, it's time to get real comfortable in your chair, because that short story was probably 20, 25 minutes long.
It was lovely.
But there's times when I'm channeling that... The energy is always different, but there's times I'm like thinking, Tobias, I'm really tired, it's time to end now, or thinking he's ended, and he just goes on and on. And he says, there's a certain amount of energy that we deliver. And he said, you know, we could just sit here and not do anything. I could tell a few celestial jokes, which you wouldn't understand. Or I'll just tell one of my short...
Actually, it was a really, really good teacher story.
It was a good teacher story.
It was really important and valuable.
But it got a little long. I think we went 90 minutes last time.
Well, I mean, his use of time is questionable, but the story itself was quite good.
Exactly. But it really was. But they actually, there's a certain amount of time, whatever you want to call it, that takes to deliver the energy. So there's more than words that are going on. There's all these other things at different levels.
He really invited people to reconsider what teaching means to them and what is really valuable in the process. And I thought that was...
It was good.
It's like, you go, Tobias.
It was good.
It's good. Yeah. Okay. Believe. So I won't do that again.
That's okay.
I won't do it again. Okay. You are here so you can develop the understanding and have the empathy and compassion to deal with the issues that your celestial family is having. And that is happening now. That is where Kathumi has been. He's been working in advance of the work that you will be doing with your celestial families as well. That was interesting.
It gets kind of complex, but... You know, when we think about being teachers, we think about, you know, doing this type of thing, standing in front of a group, teaching one of the Crimson Circle modules, teaching people, you know, anything on your own. But he says that's only a small part of it. Goes back to the whole story of the Wall of Fire, our celestial families, everything in the omniverse coming to a standstill, and a small group of bold and crazy angels saying, I'll go to this place called Earth to help find the reason why all the energy just stopped. That's what you've been doing. That's what all of us have been doing. So he says, really what you're doing also in your spare time is teaching your celestial families in the other realms. They're, well, I think he explains it in the next slide, but they're essentially waking up. And I have to be very careful when using human terms because it's so limiting. But things are changing in the other realms based on the work that we're doing here. So when he talks about teaching, it's not just other humans, it's your own spiritual family, the one that you came here to represent.
So there's much more to this work of being a teacher than just the other humans that you're working with here on Earth. You're going to be working, teaching your celestial families as well.
So if you notice the change around you energetically, not just as it applies to this dimension, but if you've just felt other things going on, you can't put your finger on it, the dreams are a little bit different, a little bit strange, there seems to be activity, but not in the physical realms, that's probably what's happening.
When Saint Germain went through the initiation for the Order of the Crimson Circle, it impacted many of you in different ways. It affected you because you realized this is what you came here for. It's the culmination of hundreds or sometimes thousands of lifetimes here on Earth to learn those things about energy and about yourself as a sovereign being. Now you can work as a teacher with those from your angelic family. It brought up many issues because some of you are wondering if you're truly ready.
If you remember back to the Midsummer Conference, or if you weren't there, if you listened to the Saint Germain channel, it pushed a lot of buttons. It brought up a lot of issues. A lot of people had the reaction like, oh, no, I'm not going to do this order thing again. Or the other common reaction was, you know, boy, this is kind of getting to be a little cultish. You know, we're having to join something. We're having to do this initiation. You don't have to do it, by the way. And some people were very, very uncomfortable. Saint Germain knew that. He was pushing buttons on purpose.
Oh, him?
Oh, yeah.
How
oh, yeah. Yeah. And Tobias is saying here, one of the real issues that you were feeling is wondering if you're really ready for this. This is a mission that we've been on for a long, long, long time. And now it's actually coming to fruition. Things are really happening. They're happening very quickly. And all of a sudden, Saint Germain says, we're going to initiate the Order of the Crimson Circle. You know, he outlines the 16 standards, ways of the standard, and a lot of people were a little bugged about it.
There are a few that went beyond bugged.
They are. But Tobias is saying here, what we're
really
doing is wondering if we're ready. Do we have enough? Do we have enough tools? Have we had all the learning and the classes and everything else we need? And Tobias, Saint Germain, Kathumi are all like, yes. This is why you're here. This is this is your real soul passion, he went on to say.
I think he was competing with Saint Germain here for long sentences. Okay, we knew something special.
This goes back to the actual shout.
Yes, okay, thank you. We knew something special was going to happen on Earth at the time when you began gathering your energies as Shambra 7 years ago. It wasn't known exactly how you would get through this whole transition time. It was generally felt that there wasn't going to be any Earth catastrophe, that the energies of Earth, particularly through the preparations that were done with the Kryon, had adjusted and balanced the magnetic grids to relieve much of the pressure and tensions that were built up within. But it would still take diligent work on the behalf of spiritual workers. Tremendous work would be needed to continue evolving the consciousness of humanity.
As most of you know, Kryon has been on Earth to help adjust the grids. And the grids are there in response to our consciousness. And although that grid work has taken place, now it's time for us to do our work. We continue to expand and change the consciousness. Tobias told me recently that they're going to have to do yet another change of the grids, but it's a different type of grid. It's not a magnetic grid, and it's not a crystalline earth grid. There's yet another type. He's going to get into that in a future shout. But it's all.
Who's going to have to do it?
I can't tell.
Because if I told you,
you might run.
Okay.
Oh, no. Grids. We're here to keep working with the consciousness. And as Tobias said, they didn't know 7 years ago. They didn't know the outcome. Tobias says over and over again, we can't foresee the future. Nobody can. It hasn't been created yet. And it can change at any moment based on different things that are happening. But he was basically saying, good job, 7 years, look how far you've come. No coincidence, at the beginning of our eighth year, at the very beginning of the eighth year, we open our new office for Crimson Circle Energy Company. You start looking at all the synchronicities, it's amazing. So
is that a secret, or are we supposed to discover it for ourselves?
He's going to talk about it in a channel. She's going to bug me about this every night, right before I go to sleep. Who's going to do the grids?
Oh, it won't be that pretty.
I was trying to be generous.
It will not be that pretty.
All of a sudden, I'll look up, Linda's on top of me. Who's going to be doing the grids? Boy, Kryon's little brother. Kryon 2. I'm Kryon 2. Next slide. I'm just a joke. I don't know yet. I do know.
Kryon wasn't human. He doesn't have any little brothers, so we know
you could have an energetic brother.
Fine, whatever. Wait till tonight.
I know. Okay. Go ahead.
I already know, but I'm not going to tell you either.
All right. I'll have my...
Believe!
I'm going to have my entity double check with your entity.
Fine. I'm not afraid if you're not. Oh, that's enough of that.
Yes. Okay. Next slide.
All right. Let me get in a nicer place.
Norma, would you do a little breathing with her here? Remedial breathing?
I'm feeling a little challenged today. Feel the energy in this room or wherever you happen to be joining us from. Wow. There's something different than any other shout. Not only is it the beginning of the teacher series, a landmark new beginning, but there is no more feeding taking place. No more feeding.
This was actually one of my favorite lines in the whole thing. And as he was saying it, I did feel the energy, not just in the room, but of everybody gathered together online. And, you know, and I, especially when I'm in channel, I can feel a lot of stuff going on, sometimes a little too much. So I have to be a little careful about stuff going on that's not mine, and I have to recognize it that way. But when Tobias was saying this, I felt around, and it's like, wow, I don't feel that feeding kind of feeling. And, you know, I think for all of us over the years, you know, we come here, including me, and you get your energy feeding, you get your channel fix, you get the Tobias energy and Saint Germain and the rest of that. But last month I noticed there wasn't a feeding. It was like we were all harmonious. Nobody was trying to take from the group. We were just adding, and of course, as you add, as you share, it just opens up everything. It comes back to you in a more natural way, but it was cool. So anyway, he said, no more feeding. not only with us, but the other entities that would gather around, even the dark entities that would float through once in a while. He said they can't even find us anymore because we're not in that old duality of feeding and taking and giving. We just are. And so they're not even aware anymore because they're hungry. They're going to go someplace else to feed. So notice it today, by the way, as the day progresses.
Without being promotional, we're talking about actually doing a workshop around that because that issue of feeding is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we've been working a lot with the Dreamwalker material. And while it's incredibly valuable for teaching someone how to dreamwalk someone, you know, ultimately to the Bridge of Flowers, in really looking at that material more closely and reviewing it, he's talking about the fact that ultimately, whether you're a dreamwalker or not, that we're getting very multidimensional. And as you become multidimensional, it becomes even more important to be able to stand back. And when you feel, it's not just, we really have the need to be clear about what we're feeling, what we should own and what we shouldn't. I didn't mean to jump in.
No, that's good.
I've been working on that.
Okay, next slide.
You're going to go beyond their mind, and you're going to start feeling their heart. You're going to start feeling their past, even their past lives. You're going to literally be able to start connecting with their NOST, even though it's not activated within them or they're not even aware of what it is. It is there. It is their energy field. It's dormant, and it's waiting.
He's talking, of course, about the students, about people you're going to be working with, whether it's in this realm or others. We've been doing a lot of work these last couple of years on feeling, getting out of just the brain and opening up the feeling, all of the senses. And he said when you're sitting with somebody who comes to you or you're in front of a class, whatever, you're going to really feel them. And you're going to connect with them on a variety of levels. It's not just going to be an analysis or a head thing. You're going to be feeling from your heart. You're going to be feeling their NOST, which even though they might not be aware of what that is, it's dormant, but you're going to be able to feel it. And one of the things he's saying, I don't know if it's in the next slide or not, so I'm going to jump ahead, but I think he's saying, he's going to say it here. So, Linda, if you would take this slide.
Oh, let me.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the reasons why we've said to you over and over again, it's not about you, has been in preparation for being a teacher. It's going to be very easy to pick up on their thoughts and feelings and emotions, and if you're not careful, to take them as your own because you are highly empathetic. You are very much a feeling being. It's not about you. You're just picking up on them.
This is such a big point. You know, he's talked for years about it's not about you, but as you actually get out and start doing any form of teaching that you're doing, it's going to be very easy to, you get that energy hit. As Tobias has said, we tend to process it as our own. What's wrong with me? How come I feel this way today? So just stop. Take a deep breath and say, do I want to own this? If not, it probably is coming from somewhere else. Everybody here, whether you think or believe it, you're very much feeling beings. That's why it's been a struggle in this lifetime and particularly the past 7 years. We're opening up. And you're feeling everything, whether it's your own past or whether it's the people sitting next to you or whether it's the people you meet on the street or just world consciousness. You're feeling it. It's one of his big points here and probably the biggest one for the first shout of the teacher series. Remember, you're the teacher. Don't take that on yourself. Remember what that divine, sacred moment of now is about? It's right now. Everything's perfect in this now moment. There's no junk or garbage or bills to pay or kids to worry about. We tend to get a little scattered when we get out there into the real world or the unreal world because we take it all on. Just keep reminding yourself what's yours and what's not. You can own it or you can disown it, anything you want. We just tend to really take on a lot of other people's stuff. Going on to the next point.
Have you realized in these last few months that it's been difficult to initiate new projects? It's because so much of your energy has been consumed with your consciousness shift. That changes now. You're going to have your own renewed sense of clarity about how to use this energy of NOST as the solution and as the manifestation.
It was funny that you mentioned this because I had personally experienced it, and I heard a lot of other people mention it. You know, since, I don't know, spring last year, maybe coming through the summer, it was really difficult to initiate anything, really get anything going. And it seemed that every time you'd try to do something, start a new project, it just wasn't there. And he said, because you're going through such a big consciousness shift that it really wasn't the time. When you're going through those big changes, you don't need to be doing all this other stuff. So that's behind us now. It's cleared up. If there's a project that you've been interested in, something that you've wanted to do, now's a real good time to undertake it. I've actually seen the evidence of that even since his last shout. People who have thought about writing books, and they're now doing it. Actually, one was delivered to us, fully written. People are now, they're moving, things are happening, which is really cool. And there was one point I wanted to make on that, but oh well.
You didn't come here to clean up karma. You didn't come here to sit under a shade tree. You didn't come here because spirit accidentally diverted you. You came here to be a teacher. Teacher with a big T.
Yeah.
To be ready and available during a time of unprecedented consciousness shift.
That really sums it up. I mean, I know we all think we have a lot of reasons for being here, generally along a karmic line. Tobias says, not really. You cleared all that up. You really didn't need to come back. You chose to be here. You chose to come into this lifetime to be a teacher. Again, that can look like many different things, many, many different ways to do that. It doesn't have to be in the traditional role of a teacher. But you came here to share something that you have with others. And Tobias says over and over again, we were kind of the first wave going through this new spiritual awakening. And we did it very similar, by the way. If you compare stories with Chambra, you know, there's kind of like almost a common thing. A lot of it was Edgar Cayce, Seth, Cryon, Crimson Circle, along that pathway. I mean, it's incredibly common amongst Crimson Circle. What was my point? Losing your mind, another common thing. Like, where was I? I was off in the ether. I was having a good time. And but anyway, we came here to be teachers. And there's a lot of different ways to do it, but it's the passion. And Tobias says that right now, I was chatting with him earlier today, says right now there's over 100 million people worldwide going through the process at the beginning or somewhere along the line of a spiritual awakening. A true spiritual awakening. Now, we know what that's like. And, you know, when you go through that, churches, the traditional religions don't really satisfy it because you probably tried that along the way. A lot of the other types of, I'm trying to be cautious here, but therapies or different modalities, you know, just don't work. You're really going through something very, very personal and extremely intense. And you might read a book here and there that helps out, but when it still comes down to it, it's you and yourself. And he said there's about 100 million right now. Who are they going to go to? Who are they going to go to? Well, if you're ready, if you hang out your sign, you know, put out your signal, they're going to find their way to you, just like the UPS and the FedEx guy found their way to the Crimson Circle office. So, and I know this is an interesting point with Chambra. A lot of people listening in today, maybe even a few here, are thinking that I'm talking to the person next to you or somebody else. It's like, well, I'm not really ready to be a teacher. I never really even felt a passion for being a teacher, those type of things. But Tobias St. Germain keeps saying over and over, if you're here, if you're part of the Crimson Circle, if you're attracted to this small slice of the spiritual work, you're a teacher, one way or the other. And now is a wonderful time to let that unfold in your life. Again, get out of your head about it, because if you think being a teacher is just standing here like what Linda and I do, you know, it could be a variety of different things, many different. You could be starting a business. And you think, what does that have to do with teaching? Well, you're going to be contacting people every day. You may have employees. You're going to be touching people in a variety of different ways. So stay very open to it.
I want to add to that, and it's just more of the same, but seriously, if you don't already perceive of yourself as a teacher, I invite you to accept the fact that you already are, and you've actually already been doing it. And sometimes it's just somebody comes up to you and asks a question, and you can just feel a sense that they just need to hear it's okay. And it's something assuring or something allowing or something that you say to them, they're going to walk away and it changes their life and allows for their life.
Just a touch.
Makes a delightful difference. Oh, can I have some more?
Hey, don't feed.
But I really invite you that if you don't already consciously notice that, to give yourself permission, really allow yourself to notice it, because, you know, sometimes it can just be someone standing quietly in the middle of chaos. Sometimes it can be somebody that the idea that chaos is all over and yet you're able to move forward when no one else can. You just need to allow that whatever you're doing is already teaching.
It could be something as simple as a song, like what you're saying before. It's something like that. There's many different ways. I don't see myself as a teacher. I still kind of have to kind of shake myself, because I've always worn the business guy mode, and I'm having to get out of that. But I'm learning that, oh, yeah, I guess I am a teacher. This is cool. This is fun.
You know, it could be the kid knocking on your door. And if you're, you know, I had it happen where, you know, just it's kind of an exaggerated example, but I taught in a very, very difficult school district. The kids came from terrible, terrible homes sometimes. And it was really nice, because later on, not that wasn't nice, but later on, it was high school. So they'd come back and they'd actually come back to me and tell me what I did that made a difference and changed their life every now and then. And it was always bizarre to me, because it never, ever was anything that I was paid to teach them. It was always something else that I did in the room that somehow they observed, that they said, that's important to me. I'm going to make sure I do that. So I invite you to consider how subtle, how special teaching really can be.
Good. Next slide.
Okay. Did you shift already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. A consciousness shift is not necessarily what you think it's going to be. Consciousness shift sometimes blows apart all the old concepts. This idea of being the supreme human, superhuman. Consciousness shift doesn't see you that way. Doesn't see you as a superhuman with superpowers. It sees you as a spirit and divine. In these past 7 years, you've learned a tremendous amount about the way consciousness shifts and the way your humanness adapts to it.
Sorry for the typo. Device is saying here, and again, we've all experienced this, consciousness shift is...
what was that?
Consciousness shift. I don't know why that's tough to say. Consciousness shift. I said shift.
Because the one creates the other sometimes.
It's never, ever what we think it's going to be. And it goes back to the story of the caterpillar and the butterfly. How could the caterpillar possibly know what it's like to be a butterfly? So we go through the shift, but it's different than what we would have thought. It's the divine and the spirit, they're not looking to build us into a superhuman. Matter of fact, not at all, because it's even more of a trap. We get these superhuman powers, you know, whatever that may be, and we're even more stuck in our old self and our own way. So they're not real concerned about that, believe it or not. They're concerned about the wholeness of us, but sometimes I think people, not Chamber, but a lot of people pursue a spiritual kind of a study because they want more power. Well, we've learned that power is just an illusion anyway. It's about discovering, rediscovering, or reinventing ourselves, not about just doing this superhuman thing.
No, I'm so excited she's writing you a check.
Oh, good. look how that works. See? Yeah, it comes to you.
Oh, my God. I was kidding. That was a joke again. Oh.
Wow. See? Anybody else? No. Kidding. Kidding. That's amazing. Anyway, so consciousness shift. Okay. Moving on to the next.
I need to get, like, step on my toes or something.
Okay.
It's like... All right. I'm reading checks and gifts. It's amazing. Okay.
Go ahead.
I got to take a deep breath.
You want me to read it?
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. You are intimately connected to events that happened a long time ago and that have been on hold. You've been having strange things happen in the night because those energies are coming back to life now. As they come back to life, it's almost like you coming out of a sleep. You know how you're groggy and are uncertain about what's going on? You don't even know what day it is. That's what these energies are like way back there. Even though it took place in the past, it is still as much in the present as you are right now.
He's talking about our spiritual families once again. And without going into the long version of the story, the spiritual family, everything kind of came to a stop. It doesn't mean, you know, it just kind of, God has expanded as far as it could expand. We took off on this interesting adventure to Earth to learn more about energy, learn how to move to the next level, the next step. And that's what we've been doing here on Earth. He's saying that our spiritual families are beginning to awaken, and they're coming out of this grogginess, this sleep, and they're really not sure what's going on. And you're feeling that also. If you've had a real deep feeling lately, a longing like for like the soulmate type of thing, long lost love, it's probably the longing for your spiritual family. Hmm. Been away from them for a long, long time. And especially as they start to wake up, you start to feel that. Hmm. Again, he's talking about you're not just going to be teaching humans, you're actively teaching them. So, big job. Big job.
That was really big.
Yeah.
He didn't actually say that in the channel, did he?
Yes.
Uh-huh. No, not the piece I read, the piece you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Did he? Okay.
He said it in other venues as well.
Okay. Very good. As these old energies wake up, they tend to be confused. They tend to be a bit grumpy. They tend to be very hungry for energy. Kathumi's been working with a team that has been going back to these awakening energies to help them understand what is going on, to help them understand that there's a place called Earth that was created to help them find resolutions to their issues. This place of Earth is finally raising its level of consciousness, and it's causing all of these other realms and dimensions to wake up.
Wow. It's a really interesting thing. As we wake up, as we become more spiritually aware, it's also that energy, your energy, is waking up the spirit families that have been in this kind of on hold for a long, long time. So there's this tremendous thing going on back and forth. So again, it's not just about teaching here, it's about teaching there. And he's particularly noting this because he wants you to be aware that you're going to be feeling a lot of other things, not just the everyday life here on Earth. You're going to start really feeling the spirit families, the angelic families that you left a long time ago.
When a being, any entity, can simplify their energy, can simplify everything about themselves, they are truly sovereign. A sovereign being is not a complex one. A sovereign being doesn't have all of these complex systems. Why? Because everything is integrated. Everything becomes integrated back into a very simple angelic resonance.
I love that. He was talking particularly about Kathumi. By the way, he was saying that Kathumi was really gone for
why
the last...
Why didn't you just give him credit for it?
He did.
Why didn't he just
he did
really
in an earlier slide.
But this one didn't say Kathumi.
I know, but that's why I'm saying it, because I want to make sure to give him credit.
Okay, good.
But he was saying Kathumi was really, for the past year, you know, there was a joke, where is Kathumi? He was really in these far-off realms, working as the angelic beings really started to reawaken. So he was back there. But he was talking about how Kathumi knows how to keep it simple. And a spiritual being is very simple. There's not a lot of complexity. Everything is integrated. It's a single angelic resonance.
Can Kathumi visit today?
I don't know.
I think we would like it.
Tobias went on to talk about his short story. He said,
I would like to tell a short story today, just a short one, a story that perhaps will help to illustrate your journey and the journey of students that you're going to be working with. What's the next line? Is that perfect? Good.
Now, I thought, oh boy, at this point, you know, I was doing all the slides last night. At this point, I thought, well, first of all, it was about 10 o'clock. And I thought, oh man, this is going to be another 20 slides. And I know I'm going to be bored crazy by the time we get to this point if he's going to start with a story. And I thought, you know, you want to read the story, it's online. Just download it, go back and listen to it. Because we don't want any more Schomburg like this. If you're listening in online, if you don't have a visual, well, I think they do. If you're just listening, it's a picture of some people who are really obviously bored.
Quite yawning and dumping
okay.
Drinks. Uh-huh.
Let's move on and talk about...
We're ready.
Okay, here it comes. Recent Schomburg events. Again, the beautiful picture of Lake Tahoe taken by Dave Schimmel, husband of Susie.
Who we would not let go to Tahoe.
No, I'm sorry. You've got to stay here.
Got to leave somebody behind.
We had a great time last month at the Dreamwalker Birth School. This was the first birth school. It was brand new to us. St. Germain had 2.5 days of nothing but information. I mean, it was 8 hours or 9 hours a day of just solid talking about the whole process of what happens when you come to Earth. He didn't talk about the physical birth much at all, but it was about this whole process of how we get here. It was a little scary.
Yeah, it's like a big, giant Six Flags ride.
It was like a free-for-all. Yeah, and it was. And he talks about something that...
I'm not exaggerating.
He had a lot of terms. As a matter of fact, he was like a dictionary in this thing. He had all these terms. And for a channeler, that's tough, because if I'm using my words, I get their ideas, put it in my words, it's easy. But he came up with... these terms, it's like,
new words
you'd
never heard before. Huh, I wonder why he did that.
I don't, so nobody could say this is,
we've been
doing it for years this way. So he had a whole method. He talked about the tube, when somebody's ready to come in, and he had a specific name for the beings that are in the tube, and I can't even remember what
scared.
It is. Scared. Yeah. But he said, he said he actually gave all these numbers, how many people were being born, how many entities were in the tube getting ready, kind of the free-for-all that takes place, even up to the last minute, right before birth, of entities nudging each other out of the way. It's, I got that body. And he really blew apart this concept of this planning, and we choose our parents and all the rest of that. He says it happens to some of us, but to the vast majority, you know, it doesn't. You tend to be attracted, pulled through this tube based on things like karma, past life commitments.
Kind of a passenger in a crashing car.
Unfinished business. it was fascinating. But he talks about, he gave a phenomenal discussion about the crystals.
Yes,
and about the planning that they're doing, about some of the aspects that they're going to bring in. That was my favorite session. It was great. So I don't know when we're going to do the school again live. We are talking about possibly just putting it out on DVD to anyone, just like ESS.
Maybe.
Well, some of these other schools have some moments in them. Dreamwalker, for instance, can lead to some very, very emotional times. And what's the other one? Sexual energies. Man, you got to have facilitation for that.
Yeah.
But this is not a... This is an information program.
You know
program.
What? I have a funny idea, and we'll talk about it offline. But actually, because we've been going through like the Dreamwalker death training, I've been looking at that material very carefully again, and looking at this and thinking, you know, in a sense, everyone should have a feeling and a sense for what
you know.
Wait, let me finish.
Okay,
and then you can interrupt me.
Okay.
Yeah, my turn. Anyways, No, I'm so excited because I'm noticing it because I'm really going through that material because of the teacher training. And really, we need to come up with a hybrid of this Dreamwalker stuff. And it should be, you don't have to want to be a Dreamwalker birth. You don't have to be a Dreamwalker death. You should just have some general access to this material. So we need to do a workshop that's just about the whole idea of what life is and the dreamwalking of life itself because it's so awesome.
I know. The information is
You know, most of the people that attended because they wanted to dreamwalk somebody dying. But as I'm going through this material again, it's like...
Everybody should know it.
You know, yeah. It's all about being multidimensional.
It gives you a perspective
stunning.
The whole process, death and now birth. And then we'll do the final class in this trilogy called Dreamwalker
Ascension.
Sovereign or Dreamwalker Ascension. For those who want to teach others how to do an embodied ascension, exactly what we've been going through these 7 years. But if you want to guide somebody through that very specifically, we're going to do that in Kelowna, British Columbia, in April. And I can already tell you we have We haven't announced it yet. I just did. We have about 60 or 70 people on the waiting list already, so that's going to be a popular one.
It'll be sold out by Christmas. We'll have it up on the web. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm trying not to exaggerate. We'll have it up on the web this month already. Yeah.
But anyway, great school, incredible information. We're going to be talking next week out with the staff about how do we get this out, because Linda and I do not have the time anymore to go out and teach all the schools. We need Schomburg teaching them. But how are we going to do this? So, incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I got so excited working with
this. I got a couple pictures. This is the group that
what
attended.
What a handsome group.
That is a good-looking group. We had about 80 people from a variety of different countries. Taos.
Where's Louise?
I don't know.
I see Hootie, our sponsor. Wait, here's our sponsor, Hootie.
I got other pictures, darling.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought that was the only one.
Anyway, we had a good time.
Okay. There's the staff.
Right there. Most of the staff, we were missing one, but we had Norma and Garrett. Wonderful working with you again on these Dreamwalkers. Hootie and Louise were the sponsors, and of course, Linda and I. Linda, you look like somebody just like told
goosed
you.
Goosed me? Yeah, I wonder who's standing behind me.
Somebody right behind you.
Yeah, I noticed that. Thanks for sharing that picture with everybody.
And then the one person in the staff that isn't pictured here has his own picture.
Yes.
Mr. Spaghetti, John Kaderka. I saw this picture, and it was like, oh, my gosh, look at all those wires and cables. And
look at how calm he looks in spite of all that.
He looks bored, actually, at that point. They were long days. St. Germain, he's a taskmaster.
He is. That was a nice word for it, too.
It was a really good group. We had a wonderful question and answer session, answered a lot of the missing pieces. And this is a really beautiful part. Stacey Frank, who I think a lot of you have heard her music, she and Michelle joined us for this. Stacey sang, and at the very end, she kind of started saying, let me back up a little
bit. Go ahead.
During the school, St. Germain said at one point that she was going to sing a song that she hadn't written yet. Now, that's kind of scary.
No pressure.
If you're an artist and a musician, it's like, what? I haven't even written a song. She got up there the last day and started singing. It was beautiful. It was all channeled, and it was about the St. Germain calls the Dreamwalker birth worker. He calls him an Adula. So the song was Adula. And it just unfolded. I got the disc today. I'm going to send it to Stacy. She's going to re-record it. But it was beautiful. It was just absolutely channeled and so perfect for the event. So, Stacy, I look forward to hearing the final. And, of course, this is a birth workshop. So what happened at the end? Tobin.
7 months.
Carrie and Joe's son came in. I had to show that cute
was that
baby
when he
pictures.
Wasn't he wasn't playing spaceship then?
He was not playing spaceship at that point. I won't even. We asked Carrie at one point, "Well, where's Tobin?" She said, "He's playing spaceship. I locked him in the trunk of my car."
And we laughed our butts off, but there are a couple people that didn't know her well enough to be sure she was telling the truth or not.
She is kidding.
Oh,
jeez. Anyway. Crimson Circle.
Oh.
We officially opened and dedicated the office on August 22nd, 2006.
Hooray again to the people out in Tahoe.
Yeah.
Hello, we love you.
And I've got some pictures.
Oh, good. Of course
pictures.
You do.
Now,
I forgot about that.
I have to mention, we never planned to have the office in Tahoe. The initial plans going back maybe two years ago, were to have an office here in Colorado.
Right.
When we started talking and working with Janice, we said, well, we'll do it out in San Francisco where you're located. We'll just have a small little office out there for you. She ended up moving out towards the Reno area, and we said, we'll have an office in Reno. So we had to kind of keep shifting.
It's a virtual office.
And it just did not work in Reno. Everything fell apart. And, you know, we were frustrated. We were in our human world going, God dang it, how come we can't get a lease on an office space here? We got to get this set up. And all of a sudden, Tahoe appeared. It's actually the same cost, the rent cost, as Reno, but a lot different environment.
Oh.
So we set it up here, and I love the place to begin with. This is a shot from our office. This is a view from the office. I mean, you know, now this could have been Reno. This
not.
Could have been not. This could have been, you know, Arvada, but...
Actually, it was when I look back on the human experience, it was kind of an interesting study because we would have never even thought that we wouldn't have even started there, even though it's obvious why we're there, but we wouldn't have even started there just assuming that it wouldn't be even remotely reasonable. And after doing the homework and trying to find Reno, which we thought would be reasonable and affordable, it was like, oh, my God, it doesn't cost any more than Reno. Okay, Desert Lake, Desert
yeah,
Lake.
Yeah, I mean,
Desert
just an absolutely beautiful view. This is the physical office building. It's a you can't really see our office area because it's facing out the lake.
Behind those trees, side. Actually.
Yeah, behind the trees. There's a wonderful restaurant up above, and our office space is down below. It's beautiful, you know, really nice, nice space. This is the sign that we put up that finally brought the deliveries. It's called the Bullwheel Building. But once we put that up, then everything showed
started
up.
Happening. It
like
showed up.
Amazing. We did a ceremony the first morning. And before I tell you about the ceremony, I got to tell you about there's
oh,
my painting. That's the painting.
That's why he's crying.
I commissioned Anthony to do, and Tobias gave it away at the Midsummer Conference. Actually, this is the kind of the entryway for the office, and there's glass windows. It is the perfect spot. So when he took it from me, now I understand why. That wall was made for that painting. It's the first thing you see when you come into the office area.
You should see the way the landlord looks at us.
Yeah. We wanted to do a little ceremony. Tobias says, you know, do a ceremony of joy. So what we did is we bought a ceramic jar, square jar, and we put it on the floor and we smashed the hell out of it.
Without safety glasses, good idea.
Yeah. Well, and we were drinking mimosas there first thing in the morning. We had a little champagne. We had a good time. The whole staff was there. The reason why we did the ceremony this way is because we want to let the energy out. We want to let the energy free. Tobias says that, you know, we structure things as humans, which is fine, but then let go of the structure so it can evolve to the next level. We took the structure of business and of even of Crimson Circle as it has been structured up to now, and we broke it, not to destroy it, but so that energy can regather itself. We actually took the shards or the pieces from the broken jar, and we're putting them into a fountain, you know, with like water things running all over it. It's really cool.
Let the red Kool-Aid begin.
Yeah, you bet. This is for those who don't know Janice Burney. She's a chief operating officer. This is her office. Is Janice hard at work? She's probably sitting there right now,
and probably with her BlackBerry.
Michelle McHale also went out there. I know all of you know Michelle. She's been just the backbone of the Crimson Circle, and when she heard we were moving to Tahoe, she was like one of the first ones getting out there. Lisa Rogers is the Schomburg University manager. She also moved from Denver out there. So in this past month, we had everybody packing their bags and suitcases and going out to Tahoe.
Just a reason to drive a big truck.
Whoops, so that shouldn't have gotten in there. Sig Linda, you know, laying on the floor. Funny photo. That's a real photo of Sig Linda. Sig Linda started working with Crimson Circle back in February, and she's now the production manager with her new Macintosh computer. So anyway,
and so it is.
That is the staff hard at
work. Oh, and that's nice. Susie only gets the back since she doesn't live there.
I have another shot of Susie.
Oh, good.
Susie, of course, lives here in Coal Creek, works with Linda and I do have a shot of her in second from the left there.
Hi, Susie. We got you.
Yeah. So anyway, that is Tahoe. We went from there to Las Vegas last weekend to work with Steve and Barbara Rother. I think a lot of you know their work. Steve channels the group, and we've known them since the Cryon days. They invited us to come out and be guests on their webcast like this.
1995, I think we met them.
Yeah, it's called Virtual Light. It was a blast. Matter of fact, if you want to watch the interview, it's at www.lightworker.com.
It was fun.
It was fun. Here's Linda and myself, Steve, Barbara, and Janelle, who is the host of the show. They have a beautiful production facility.
Very nice.
That they rent, of course.
Not as warm and homey as this.
Not as homey as this, yes.
The toilets weren't near as interesting.
But it was fun. Their format's a little bit different, but yet just being together with other channelers and lightworkers was awesome.
It was like a reunion. It really was nice.
Yeah, we went out to dinner that night with them. And I don't know if some of the old-timers here remember Lee and Russ LaHood, who were from Colorado, were part of the Crimson Circle in the early days. They moved to Las Vegas. They're now working with Steve and Barbara. So funny how things go. We had a little celebration that night. One of my favorite places, Bellagio's Hotel. It was my birthday, so Having a
you're kind of handsome there. I think that's too sexy for like
having a drink
the general
with Hootie
public.
And Louise. And it was a fun birthday. We actually celebrated it there. I love this shot. That's Hootie and myself with our Tommy Bahama shirts in Las Vegas.
Life is good.
The sign above
life
says
life is good, but
buff, not butt. Oh. It says buff. Life is good. You're celebrating your birthday at Bellagio's. Okay, upcoming events, and I'll go through these rather quickly. This week we do the Dreamwalker Teachers Training. This is a milestone event because this is the first time
ever.
We're teaching Chambra to be the teachers. We have a full house sold out. It's at our Incline Village office in Lake Tahoe. I mean, it's phenomenal. We're actually teaching folks so they can go out and teach the Dreamwalker Deaf.
It's a real step. It's a huge step.
It's really exciting. Gives me the chills.
Do you got goosebumps?
I do. It's the culmination
monumental.
Of a 7-year dream.
It's monumental.
It's phenomenal. We go from there to Linz, Austria for a Tobias workshop, which means we don't know what the hell Tobias has up his sleeve, but it's always interesting. I've asked him, I said, what are we going to do in Linz? He said, I'll tell you on the airplane.
Thank you. How do you know it's him?
I don't know. Whoever's going to tell me. Okay. We are doing two Ask Tobias sessions here in Denver on Saturday, October 14th. It's just an afternoon, so come out and play with us. The first session will be about NUST, and the second will be about... I did not pick this, by the way.
Mom, Tobias, it's not about you.
And the second is about Mormons and other spiritual
families.
He
really doesn't mean anything by it.
So Tobias actually wants to talk about how we come from spiritual families, we connect with them, and then we form groups or associations. He said the Mormons are a perfect example. They all are part of a spiritual family going way back when, and it's very easy for them to regather their energies.
And I think it's appropriate that you channel something like that, since you were the one that taught Joseph Smith how to channel in the first place. So that connection between the two of you and the whole concept of the way that came to Earth, that really makes you well suited to be the channeler.
And we'll see what Tobias has to say about that.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know you aren't.
No, really, I'm learning to be. Honest, look.
Oh, you look excited.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
See?
We do another Dreamwalker Death Transitions Teacher Training. This is, again, for teachers in Zurich, Switzerland, October 21 through the 24th. We pop over to Frankfurt, Germany, where we do the Sexual Energy School. This is for everybody. I mean, this isn't teacher training. This is the regular school. It's with translation. Sorry, it's sold out. That sold out in about 3 weeks.
If even.
If that. So that's a very popular one. We call it sexual energies, but it has to do with energy management, how people feed off of you, you feed off of them, something that he calls the energy virus, how it gets into you, into your family line.
And when I say sold out, I mean even just from the energies-wise, we had to cut the number off because we knew that was enough energy for the room. It's such an important workshop.
Then we do teacher training for the Sexual Energy School. If you've attended the school and you want to become a teacher, we're doing that in Incline Village at the office there. I would say based on applications, we're getting close to sold out.
Yeah, and it's by application.
You have to have attended the regular school to become a teacher.
And there's some other
criteria.
There are some other criteria and guidelines. And you have to have a pair of teachers.
Yes. We teach the Sexual Energy School. This is regular school training in Tokyo, Japan at the end of November. As you notice, what we're trying to do is hit all the continents, so it's easy for Chambra to get up to speed with us.
And it just really grounds it.
It does. And we go from there to Sydney, Australia to teach the Sexual Energy School. We're going to be filled with a lot of... Yes, it will be.
Katarina, did you hear that? You're going to be translating into Australian for us.
Yeah, well, you just say made a lot, you know. Yeah. And in Canada, it's A. So a little typo on my part there. And then we go with Katarina, our sponsor in Australia, over to Adelaide to do the Dreamwalker Death Transition School. And actually, Katarina is going to be giving the school. We're going to be there supporting her, and we'll do a channel or two. I just want to quickly mention the what we're calling the From Control to Freedom, the Oslo Sessions is out. It's been very popular. I don't remember a single thing from those channels. And people are saying, that is such a great set. That's like, they say it's like ESS. You know, it's a complete course in a box. I have no idea. I haven't listened to it. But heard it was good. We have some here today.
There's something right with that picture, but I don't know what it is.
Real quickly, and I'd like to do this like at every gathering, just a little preview or portrayal of somebody having a Shamba dream and having it come true, because they are coming true right now. You don't have to work that hard at it. In Romania back in...
guess you just have to allow it, huh?
May, which was not that long ago, we were talking to a couple of the Shamba in Romania, and one in particular said, I'd just love to have a spiritual tea house. You know, the tea and the coffee, and that is just a reason for people being there. The real thing is the energy. And so she said, I'm going to create it. I know it's going to work out. I know it's just going to happen. Well, they created it, and Carmen, who is in the middle here of this picture, together with her sister Mira on the left and Christian, her boyfriend, made it happen. They opened it on August 26th, my birthday, and and it's a reality. I mean, in just a few short months. There's a long story behind it, but somebody came up to them and was talking to them and basically, in a sense, offered them a large sum of money and said, go do it. Right now, Christian is off in India buying tea, and they've got the place running. I have a few pictures here of the...
Can I go to India to buy us some tea?
Yes. Yes. After you finish all the tea in the cupboard at home, which would take 20 years.
So I got a problem. Okay.
But, you know, it's happening. It really is. And for those of you who are like, well, you know, it's not going to happen to me, take a deep breath. Ask yourself why you would let that even exist. Let it go. Let your dreams show up. Now, I got to say that Carmen and Christian and Mira have actualized a dream. Now, they still have to boil the water, and they still have to travel to India to get the tea. They still have to clean up at night. They got to pay the rent. But it's happening. It's working. And they're teaching this all this time. Everybody who comes into that spiritual tea house
in that space
is going to get a taste of their teaching. Their teas, by the way, their menu actually literally includes...
Don't you love it?
It actually includes Deunas tea, Roses fruit tea, Teachers of Life tea, Tobias tea, and St. Germain tea, which may be a little bitter to the taste at first, but... anyway, so I'd like to give those examples. If you have an example in your own life or you know somebody, please let us know about it. I want to show Shamba it works, just like the Tahoe office. It just works, you know. And I know we have the staff there that's working very hard to make it work, but we're starting to actualize now. Dreams aren't out there. Dreams are right here. Speaking of dreams, the toilets here at Coal Creek Hall are a source of contention. Sometimes they don't work. Even when they do, they're not the prettiest things in the world. So I put it out there that we create some new toilets for here.
I think somebody's out of control.
And you know what? I've actually been moaning and groaning about the toilets here for a long time. You know what? Somebody, well, created some samples, and I have pictures of those today. Possible new toilets for right here at Coal Creek Hall.
Guess you got to bring it down to 3D. So here we go.
That would be interesting. I don't think I could ever quite go. May have to run outside, but I don't know.
Well, to help you play your instrument, I guess.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, as long as it didn't start playing back. It's this is another scary one. I'd be more fascinated with a toilet. I just would have difficulty doing the business.
Let's move on.
But it's a nice one.
It kind of goes from bad to worse. Is that the Kathumi toilet?
Ouch. Ouch is all I can say. Somebody got very artistic. These, I don't know if you can see them, but they're flowers. They're, you know, it's artistic, very artistic, yeah. You know, toilets are actually kind of boring when you think about it.
Is it time for a break?
Almost. I got...
Talk about things going into the shitter real fast.
Yeah. And you got a used chair sitting around the house? Well, you know what to do with it right now.
We went from NOS to the toilet.
This is the Bubba toilet. I mean, you know, what more could you want? Life is good. This is Paris Hilton's toilet, by the way.
Okay. So, I'm suffering.
And finally, my personal... Oh, this isn't quite... Yes.
That would be your favorite because of why?
There's no, my favorite is coming up next. This is me.
Oh, I love you.
So, anyway, I do want to thank all of Chambra for your financial support. It allows us to keep doing what we're doing. We are working diligently on the public offering. We're going to have more news about that as we progress. We have to be careful because of laws and that, what we say, but we are working on it. It is actualizing right now.
It's real.
It's real. It's cool. But in the meantime, the donations keep everything afloat. Keep the office going. Keep the webcasts available. So I want to thank everybody for your donations. It is now time for that 20-minute break. Think about those toilets when you're back there. Think about what you would like to see hanging on the wall. Thank you.